Turn, if you will, to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, starting with verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and a babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Praise be to God. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Isaiah 48. My limited time teaching the Bible, not quite 10 years, I always try to do the same thing. Great focus to how this is a completed work from start to finish. You guys are getting the opportunity to see this aspect of me, but in the other church, I sit in the back until I come up to preach. So we get to sing hymns and we get to sing gospel music. And while I'm listening to the gospel music, this is one of the things that I have grown in. As a child or as a babe in Christ, I would sing the songs that I like. Then I realized something. It just clicked. Most of these hymns that we sing are based off scripture. And I start pulling the scripture. The scripture, the closer I get to the word of God, the more I get it memorized, the more I pull the scripture, just pulling right into me. So some of these are very engaged in theology, and they have a strong theological teaching in the songs that we sing, whether we realize it or not. And so often, as I used to, I would sing them without even realizing it. One of these songs that are packed with theology, it's a song I've been singing in my head since last Sunday, maybe the Sunday before last at this church, actually, because sometimes the music actually coincides with each other, and that's amazing. But the song is, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold throughout the heavens that shone a holy night. The shepherds feared and trembled when the low above the earth rang out. The angels' chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Down in a lonely manger, a humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. I've said many times I love music, so it's very difficult to read that without singing it in my head. Our world has witnessed many nights since it was first created back in Genesis. Many of those nights have passed without anything remarkable taking place whatsoever. Other nights we have seen profound changes that have marked history forever. April 14th, 1865, the world went to sleep rejoicing that the Civil War had ended, not knowing that the next morning, April 15th, 1865, President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. That night passed, not looking like anything remarkable, until everybody woke up and realized that President Lincoln was dead. I paused there for a second, and I wonder how long it took that event in 1865 to go throughout the whole United States. We have the internet now, we'll know immediately. But how long will it take without television or radio for it to get all the way across? December 6, 1941 was an uneventful night which found Asia and all of Europe involved in World War II. The United States was going about its business rejoicing after FDR had delivered the country from the Great Depression. The next morning, though, December 7th, a day the president said would live in infamy, because that night, the United States was attacked at Pearl Harbor, forever changing the course of history. June 5th, 1944. Just looked like a normal night. Hitler was invading Europe, conquering the Western Europe. However, the next night was June 6th, D-Day, when the forces led by General Dwight Eisenhower invaded Europe and decisively turning the tide of that war, which we eventually won. November 21st, I didn't realize that until this morning, was actually my mom's birthday. President and Mrs. Kennedy slept comfortably in their hotel. The Hotel Texas, room 805, 850, if you're wondering. Didn't look like anything important was going to happen to them the next day. Standard day for the president. November 22nd, the very next day, the president was assassinated in Dallas. September 10th, 2001. For me, it was just a normal day at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, kind of in between training. But the next day, the United States was attacked in New York City. Changed the course of our history and set us on the path we're on now, I believe. We understand that one night can change the whole world. You can go to bed one night and wake up and everything has just changed. However, one night, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. And that night seemed to pass like any ordinary night, except for the fact that angels fell down and talked to the shepherds on the Judean hill, made lowly music to shepherds. For unto you a child, and for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you that ye find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Laying in a manger, because they had no room for him at the inn. No room for them at the inn. But let's look what happened. Let's look a little bit closer to the actual event itself. Just kind of zoom right in and look at it. We're going to see that worship had changed. Worshiping in the temple or worshiping in a synagogue had changed. Let's look closely at who came to worship. Shepherds. Anybody ever work around farm animals? You ever go back smelling like a farm animal? Absolutely. The shepherds were considered outcasts. They were unclean. They were unclean and not able to attend temple worship. Because of their menial occupation, they smelled. It smelled like the animal they were herding, most likely sheep. They were dirty outcasts. They were unable to temple precincts because of their lowly station in life. Nobody cared much to be a shepherd. Nobody can muster to be around a shepherd. They were dirty. They slept outside. They were ceremonially unclean. The angel of the Lord could have went to King Herod's palace and spoke those words to the ear of the king. Jesus could have been born in a nice room, laved in purple like he deserved. However, if he would have been born in that palace, you and I would never heard about it. Never would have came across them. I've said many times, there's things in the Bible that don't make any sense when you look at it. If you were writing the story out yourself, you would never write it this way. You would put the king born in the palace and let the top, the president, the emperor, let everybody know the message from down. God didn't do it that way. He started with the lowliest person, the lowliest servant at that time, and sent the message out that way. The opposite of how we would have voted together. God came down to the lowly shepherds, dirty outcasts, to tell the world that we are now included in the family of God. Not just the upper class, but everybody. I've run into a lot of people in my line of work. And it's very difficult to let people know that everybody's the same in my book. I don't care how many degrees you got. I've met doctors that would not speak to you. The first words out of their mouth was, where'd you go to college? Where'd you graduate from? And if you say no, they're done talking to you. Because they feel they're so much higher educationally, they can't speak to you. And some people don't, those people don't think they have any need to hear a gospel message of salvation. This is only for the lower class. This is only for the people that need God. And I have to tell them every single one of us need God. Without Him, you're going to have a miserable existence once you depart this earth. But some of those people think because they got a nice bank account, and they drive a nice truck, and they live on a nice farm, and they got a high visibility job, they think they're all that in a bag of chips. It's always chuckle when I say that because I realize I'm a chaplain and a mayor. I'm like, oof, that's me. But the rest of us need this message of grace, and the rest of us need this message of salvation. But not everybody here realizes that. Everybody here who can hear my voice need to realize that they are dirty, lost, outcast, worthless. And if God wanted to, He could cut us off. Some people from so-called higher classes I was discussing, they have a very twisted view, a very twisted reality. Whenever I walk into a bedside of somebody who's fixing to pass away and I speak to their loved ones, and they say certain words, look for red flags, I call them. And you're like, well, I hope I go to heaven. I was a good guy. I never murdered anybody. That tells me immediately they're not saved. They don't know the gospel. They don't know the accounts of it. They think we're measuring good works versus bad works. That ain't the case. You failed one, you failed all. So you have to bring them back in. Bring it back in at their level and bring them back up so they can be saved before they pass on. But they think because they're not criminals, they're not career criminals, they're not career sinners. But everybody was born to be a sinner. But some of us here, we know that if the Lord had dealt with us according to our deeds, if the Lord would judge us according to our sins and hold us accountable for our past on our own accord, we'd be in hell right now. But we understand that we have God's grace and we'd be lost without God's grace on our way to hell. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Psalms 98:4. Knowing that everything that God has done for me, that's how I feel. Every day. Yes, my flesh is weak. But I know God's going to pull me through it, kicking and screaming, whether I realize it or not. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and unto His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Psalms 100, verse 4 and 5. I woke up this morning even more focused than I normally am. Normally I get up some ridiculous hour. This time it's winter, so I got to get up and go check the fire first thing. Kind of get myself together as I go about my day. This time I get up, I get the TV on, I got the music going. It's so sad. I put these preachers on, but then I don't want to hear them because I don't want to copy them because I have my own message in my head listening to their messages. But I'm listening to the gospel music. It'll just focus you. You realize that we have to praise God with all that we have. Not just on Sunday, not just at the Bible studies, but do it on Wednesday. Do it on Thursday. Every day, not just Sunday morning. God didn't have to wake me up. He didn't have to wake you up. He didn't have to put a roof over our heads. He didn't have to put food on our table. He didn't have to save us from a burning hell. But He did. I'm going to try to say this without singing. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love, and He wrote my name in blood above. And just a little walk with Jesus made me whole. Psalm 121. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. you remember when you made that switch from, oh, I got to go to church to you get to go to church today? I remember that. But when you realize, like the shepherds, all of us are outcasts, dishonest, liars, drug addicts, drunkards. We all got issues that we're ashamed to talk about. We all have proverbial skeletons in the closet. But God lets us come together and worship. But like these shepherds, we ought to go out there and go tell it on the mountain. Tell everybody what God has done for us. I chuckle because some people hear my life story, or some people that knew me back when I was in the Army especially, they hear what I'm doing now, they're like, whoa. They like to point my past right back in my face. Oh, I tell them, say, yeah, if God can do that for me, imagine what he can do for you, brother. Those guys that know my past, but when you can accept your background, nobody can tell you anything from it. You got the devil beat. You got your flesh whooped. But go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Not only was the worshiper changed in the text, the woman was changed, Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, the receptacle of the oracle of God. Mary. Some people get upset when I say this, especially my Catholic friends. Ain't nothing special about Mary. Mary was a poor peasant girl with no life experience whatsoever. She had no pedigree, no reputation. Nothing was exciting about Mary whatsoever. There was nothing thought-worthy about Mary, except God chose her. That's what made her special. God chose her. Just like he chose each and every one of you that call yourself Christians. He chose you. He didn't have to. He didn't have the Spirit move in you and move you closer to Christ. He didn't have to do that. So make sure we understand there's nothing special about Mary to speak of except that God chose her. Everything that was special about her was from God. The same like anything that you think is special about me or you, it came from God. In my personal devotion, I'm in Exodus, starting my Bible plan again for next year. In Exodus, they're putting together, they're giving everyone these gifts, as I call it. This guy has some name I can't pronounce. He has the gift of molding. This guy has the gift of embroidery. And then it hits me, because this ain't the most educational, this ain't the most exciting part of the Bible to read. God gave them that gift for his purpose, for his temple, to put his stuff together. And we take that gift and sometimes we embellish it as ourselves. We realize it ain't for us. It's for the house of the Lord. So there's nothing special about me or you except that God chooses us. Scripture says that the shepherds wondered at these things, but Mary kept these things in her heart. You ever hear that song, Mary, Did You Know? That's a tough one to listen to this time of year. But Mary, did you know that you're going to give birth to the Son of God? She would nurse the Son of God. She would comfort the baby Jesus, the Son of God. She would watch him when he was adult turn water into wine. She would watch him heal the sick. She would watch him raise the dead. She'd watch him give sight to the blind. She would watch him make the lame to walk. She would watch him make the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And at 33 years of age, Mary, a mother, the most horrible thing you could possibly do is watch your son pass away. She watched him get tortured, hung on that cross until he died on a Friday. She got to see that. But she also got to see him that 2 days later on Sunday, that 3 days later on Sunday morning, when he came out that grave as well. So I wonder, Mary, did you know all this was going to happen? Know that the Savior was going to be born through you and that he was going to perish. your mother's in the room, you have a certain way of looking at that. When we read the Gospel of Luke, we understand that when Mary went to visit Elizabeth when she was 6 months pregnant, the babe wept in the womb. The very sound of her voice made John the Baptist, the baby, rejoice and praise God. The baby that came to make the way for Jesus rejoiced over the sound of his mother's womb, the mother's voice, just by getting close to her. The unborn baby in the womb shouts. He gets next to Jesus, whose shoes were not worthy to latch. Just think about all the doors God has opened for you. How many prayers God has answered for you. How many ways God has made for you. How many mountains has he moved out of your way? How many mountains has he moved in your way to stop you from doing something stupid? How many hills has God brought you through? How many storms has he seen you through? How many tears has God wiped away from your eyes? When you ponder it in your heart, you have no choice but to worship God. He's provided every one of our needs, whether we realize it or not, up until this very moment. Going back to the text, we see the worshiper was changed. This woman was changed, Mary. However, since that night, the world has changed. Jesus was born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it in the school. Go tell it in the playground. Go tell it in the park. Go tell it in the line of Walmart. And for some of y'all fancy, go to Target, or as they say, Tarjay, and tell them. Go tell it when you pay your taxes, December, so tick, tick. I don't know if mine are paid or not. Go tell it at your job. Go tell it when you sit and eat lunch. Go tell it in the office and go tell it in the neighborhood. Go tell your family. Go tell your friends. Go tell your enemies. Go tell your siblings, your brothers and sisters. Go tell your mom and dad. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ was born. That's what this day is about. This day fell on Sunday. This church should be full. Everybody celebrates Christmas, but you want to see how popular Christ is. This should be the day. Everybody in every church should be here. I read the story of a 16-year-old girl. She had leukemia. She needed a bone marrow transplant. Her mother and father and her other son, they were all tested. None of them were a match. Mom, dad's not a match. The other teenage boy, he's not a match. The doctors were being very realistic and tell her, hey, you got about 5 years to find a match before this disease takes you. And their mom and dad didn't want to hear that. And before this diagnosis, they decided they got a boy and a girl. Dad's going to have a vasectomy. They can't even make any more kids. So they decided with the doctor that what we're going to do is I'm going to reverse this vasectomy. The doctor said, well, it's a 40% chance if that even happens. We can try it, but it might not work. 40% chance it's not going to work. Then his wife, she's 43. So there's a 40% chance that this vasectomy is going to get reversed. And she's 43. She's got a 10% chance of getting pregnant at her age and her condition. And assuming the vasectomy gets reversed, and assuming she gets pregnant, you can't do a transplant from a little newborn baby. You got to make sure that baby's a match. And that baby is a 1 in 4 chance of being a match. So you might get your vasectomy reversed, get your wife pregnant, and then have the baby, and it's not a match. But they're not listening to the doctor. They're going to do it. So he gets it reversed. They have a baby. She gets pregnant. Now the baby has to get a certain age. You still got 5 years. You're on the clock for your other daughter to live. Long story short, everything worked. vasectomy was reversed. They had another baby. The baby was a match. The baby lived long enough to get what they needed from it. All this worked. I say all that to say this. When I was born into sin. Whether you believe it or not, so was every one of you. We were born sinners. We needed a blood transfusion. Abraham was born. He wasn't a match. Isaac was born. He wasn't a match either. Jacob was born. He wasn't a match. Moses was born. He wasn't a match. Joshua was born. He wasn't a match. David was born. He wasn't a match. However, in the fullness of time, Jesus was born and died on that cross. His blood transfused our sins. His clean blood transfused our sinful blood. Jesus Christ is the match for every one of us. I'm alive today here, and we're going to live forever with Christ because of Jesus' blood, through the fullness of time, through the birth of this Virgin Mary. Fast forward 33 years. Die on that cross. Now plus 2 days in 1 second, 3 days walking out that tomb for us. And that's the real reason for this season. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, let us internally in our hearts always understand the meaning of Christmas. It's Christ, Father. That baby in swaddling cloths with his mother. That babe came to this planet, Father. The Word became flesh in order for it to be sacrificed for our blood, so we can make things right the way it was supposed to be, so we can have a perfect communion with you, Father, through your Son's sacrifice. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.